God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
I want to talk this morning about moving mountains. Last week we talked about peace in the midst of the turmoil. Week before that we talked about prayer. I want to talk this morning about moving mountains. We all face obstacles and difficulties in our life. Each and every one of us. There's nobody that gets out of this life scot-free. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Peter said, don't consider it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to test you as though some strange thing happened. Things happen in people's lives. We all face difficulties and issues like that. So I want to start with Matthew 17, beginning with verse 15. And in Matthew 17, beginning with verse 15, we find a story of Jesus had been away praying, and he comes back, and there's a crowd gathered around, and a little turmoil going up as Jesus walks up. In verse 15, a man comes running up to him and says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus answered them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." He goes on to say, "Nevertheless, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting." But Jesus, talking to the disciples, talks about having faith, and that with faith, he says, you could move a mountain. Now, I mentioned we all have mountains and difficulties in our lives. Not everything that comes into our life is something God wants us to try to get moved. Not everything that comes into our life is a difficulty that we're to try to get around. I'm tempted to jump ahead, but I don't want to do that just yet. So he tells the disciples, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. Jesus, and there's another place in Matthew, which we'll get to that also, where Jesus talks to his disciples about moving mountains, about having faith to make things happen. Many years ago, I was in a conversation and talking about the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and got to the point where, you know, mustard seed is so small. Anybody knows how big a mustard seed is? Little bitty tiny things. Reading in the Bible, it talks about the mustard, that the seed is the smallest, but it grows to be the largest of the herbs, and even the birds of the air make their nest in it. Being from South Florida, that didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand that scripture, because the mustard plants we have in South Florida get to be about knee high, and there's no birds nesting in them that I've ever seen. But when I went to Israel, when I was there for a while, I found out that in the 6 months of rainy season, 5 months of rainy season, that little bit of mustard grows to be plants 8 foot tall. So that all came into perspective and understanding that there's things we read in Scripture that we can't get in our modern mind to make perfect sense of. But he was talking about this mustard seed and how a mustard seed is so small, and God is saying, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, thinking that just a little bit of faith. But that's not it. It is a little bit of faith, but it's pure faith. A mustard seed is going to grow up into a mustard plant. There is no doubt what it is. A mustard seed is not going to grow up into an oak. A mustard seed knows exactly what its purpose is. When we have faith, when we understand that no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what we're facing, we are children of the Most High, who loves us, who gave Himself for us, who brought us into relationship, says He'll never leave us nor forsake us, watching over us. And when we recognize that we are children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Christ, that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we face, that doesn't change. And Scripture tells us the whole creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. All nature around us is waiting for those of us who are children of God to come into what God has called us to be. The question is, are we anticipating? Are we looking forward to what God is going to do in our lives? Okay, slight little detour there, you know me. In James, beginning with James 1, beginning with verse 2. Verse 1 in James says, "Hi, I'm James. Well, greetings to everybody." And then he gets right into it. Verse 2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Rejoice when you face trouble." Jesus said, "You're going to have trouble." Peter said, "Don't consider it strange." James says, "Rejoice when you face the trial. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Knowing that whatever we go through, whatever we face, is doing something in us. God has already said He caused all things to work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The things that we face are building things within us. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You've heard the thing, never pray for patience because tribulation works patience. But it goes on, tribulation works patience, patience works experience, experience works hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. So it takes, I get this visual picture of a whole bunch of cogs working together. Tribulation, click. Patience, one notch, you know, as it goes through. That's how it works in my mind. How it works in you, I don't know. But tribulation works patience. And as tribulation, patience, experience, just one notch over here, starts going through, making a difference. James says, let patience have its perfect work. Don't be so anxious to try to shortcut. We talked about that when we were talking about prayer. Everybody looking for a formula, how to get God to do what you want Him to do. God tells us how. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek what God wants, and our own desires will begin to line up with God, and God works to show Himself mighty on our behalf. Not to try and seek to get God to do something for us because of our own purposes. You know, James said, you ask and have not because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your own lust. That you're trying to get your way rather than seeking the things of God. Getting back here. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in his ways. It says, when you talk to God, when you come before God, recognize that He's God. There is nothing too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. And we don't go before God and say, okay, God, I need you to do this, 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 and this. But rather, let's go before God and desire to know Him better. Desire to draw into His presence, to come closer. And as we do that, the other cares and concerns tend to fall away. God is at work paying attention to the things going on in our lives. It says in, I'm going to say Hosea, wouldn't be the first time I was wrong, if I'm wrong, but in Hosea, it's in one of the minor prophets, it talks about, and we've read it in the last couple of months, it talks about how God is paying attention, that every time we meditate upon the Lord, those who meditate, who thought on His name and meditated on the Lord, it was written in the book. that God was paying attention, even to our thoughts, even to our meditations as we're relating one another. Another verse says, the eyes of the Lord, this is in Second Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast on Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf. As we seek God, as we draw close to Him, as we seek His face, as we draw near to His presence, the things that are going on around us, God's taking care of it. Jesus had told in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, take no thought what you will eat or what you will drink or what you'll put on, knowing that the heathen worry about these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That God is taking care of us each and every day. We have air to breathe. We have, you know, food. God takes care of us and is watching over us. But it's that double-minded man. It's that person who's asking and is, I don't know that God can do this. When the Titanic was launched, and most of you probably know this, when the Titanic was launched, one of the things that was said about the Titanic was, not even God can sink this ship. Oops. What can't God do? If God can do that, what can He do in our life? What can He do in our lives? Let's go over to Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 4. James just told us not to be double-minded, not to be doubting when we ask, but to believe that the Lord is able. In Luke 7, beginning with verse 4, there's the story of the centurion's servant. And it starts with Jesus comes into Capernaum, and the people in the town gather around Him and say, what a great man this centurion is. He loves the Jews. He's built them a synagogue. He's done a lot of things for them. It says, verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they begged Him earnestly, saying that the one for whom He should do this was deserving, for He loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when He was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to Him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. This centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come here. Just say the word, and it'll be done. Because I understand authority. I recognize your authority. I understand authority because that's basically the wheel I travel in. You know, I tell this one to do something, he does it. If he doesn't do it, you know, the consequences of them not doing it are so great they don't even contemplate not doing it. So I understand the authority, and all you have to do, if you will send the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found so great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So Jesus sent his word. Jesus healed from the distance. Jesus didn't have to be there. The centurion recognized that. James said, when we ask of the Lord, we shouldn't be doubting. This centurion, he had a servant who was sick and wanted Jesus to heal him and knew that if Jesus was willing to do it, it would be done. If Jesus sent the word, it would be done. Matthew 9, verse 20, Jesus is walking along. Actually, he's going to Jairus' daughter at this point to heal her. But as he's going, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned around, and when she saw her, said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that very hour. She didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, can I touch the hem of your garment?" She said, "If I can just get close enough to touch it, I will be made whole. If I can just get close enough, I'll be made whole." There was no doubt. She touched the hem of her garment. She was healed. Who saw the contemplations of her heart? God in heaven. God is paying attention to the things going on in our lives. And just like the centurion said, "You don't need to come into my house. If you will send the word, I understand your authority. I know my servant will be healed." The woman with the issue of blood just talked and talked within herself and said, "If I can just get close enough, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Mark 1, beginning with verse 40, says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleaned,'" or "be cleansed. So as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean." Do we believe God is able to? I mean, we have the stories in the Bible. We have these accounts written, and it was kind of easier in many ways for the people that were there because they could see Jesus. They had been hearing about all these people that he'd healed and all these situations that he'd changed. Just being there and having that faith of knowing that this was the Son of God, and they could see him. Well, in the modern day, we don't get a chance to look over and see this guy walking by in the robes that's healing people. We don't get a chance to see that. But we have the accounts and we know that it's the same God, that God does not change. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the same person there that we can count on and we can rely upon. That this leper, the leper says, "If you're willing, you can make me whole." And Jesus said, "I'm willing." I'm going to pull this together in a little bit. I hope. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." That substance is the actual things, what things are made of. Faith kind of coalesces and causes things to happen. Faith in God, faith in God's plan and God's ability and God's willingness. Scripture says, "Be of good cheer, little children. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God desires to work in our lives. Are we willing to let Him? Are we willing to seek His face and draw close to Him? The evidence of things not seen. Just believing, and it coalesces and comes to pass of what God is doing. That faith, though, without, and yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. That you go through Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and it starts with this, and it talks about the different elders and different things that they believed, and how they trusted God, and God worked miracles on their behalf and brought them through. And then you get farther down in that chapter, after it talks about those where everything worked good for them, it gets to those who were sawn asunder, those who had complete devastation in their lives. But they kept on believing God, trusting that that wasn't the end. That the even the end of this shell, the end of this body, is not the end. But they were able to trust God, hoping for a better hope. Matthew 21, verse 22. This is the other place Jesus talks about moving mountains. Says, "Now in the morning when he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' And immediately the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? Matthew 21, 20. Yep. How did the fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, and also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, when we talked about prayer a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that some people have got a whole, basically a whole ministry thing going on of name it and claim it and all of that, and that's absolutely not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is having faith in God, that God knows exactly what's going on. He knows what we're facing each and every day. He knows what our circumstances are. In Hebrews 11:6, he'd just been talking about it, or verse 5 had been talking about Abraham and how he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And come with an expectation, come with a grain of mustard seed, come with just a knowledge that God knows what's going on when we don't. Come with in faith, doubting nothing, so that we're not double-minded in all of our ways. Now, on the front of the bulletin, there's a monarch butterfly. And I wonder, figure somebody may have questions on why that picture fits with moving mountains. If you've ever watched a video of a butterfly, or if you've ever watched it in person, it's a time-consuming process, but of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, and the struggle and just the time it takes as they come out and they get out of the cocoon. And I don't know if you've ever seen a video of what happens when somebody decides to help them out and cut the cocoon off of them so that they don't go through that struggle. When they don't go through that struggle, a butterfly is crippled and will never fly. A butterfly has to go through that struggle to have the strength to fly, for its wings to fully develop, for its body to fully develop. Has to go through that. And if it doesn't, it's completely wasted. And a monarch butterfly, they winter in the southern part of Mexico. And then they fly up into North America, even up into southern Canada. This little bitty frail butterfly that had to go through the struggle to be hatched or to come out of its cocoon is able to fly thousands of miles. Let's go back to what James told us there for a minute, and don't bounce back, Deb. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Just like that butterfly that had to go through that struggle to fulfill what it's supposed to do, to go and have their migration. They fly from Mexico all the way up here and farther north. In the fall, they fly back. They had to go through that struggle to have the strength. As we're facing things in this life, the difficulties that we face, sometimes the moving mountains doesn't work the way we thought it was. In fact, most of the time, it doesn't work that way. When we face difficulties in life, even as we pray, "Lord, just remove this from my life," a lot of times He doesn't do it. But God gives us grace and strength to go through the situations that we have. Sometimes that moving of a mountain isn't getting it out of the way. It's giving us the ability to go through it, go around it, go over it. That moving of the circumstances comes from trusting God and walking in what He would have us to do. And just like that butterfly that had to go through the struggle to be fully matured, we as believers have to have the struggle of going through to be fully matured. Trusting God, having faith in God, doubting nothing. So that just like the centurion would say, you don't need to come to my house. Just send the word and you do it. The woman with the issue of blood, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. The leper, if you are willing, you can heal me. God working in our lives, are we trusting that God, who knows all of our days are written in the book before ever any of them were. David said that in the Psalms. That He knows everything about us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's at work in our circumstances. He said that He will cause all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That the God who's with us in the midst of the fire, the three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, got their names changed by the Babylonian king Ham, Shem, and Japheth are Moses' sons. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah. Pride busters are a good thing. Absolutely. These three Hebrew children said, "No, O king. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we will not bow down. We will not worship your idol. My God is able, and what He chooses to do is entirely up to Him. I'm going to trust and believe in Him in the midst of it, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what we're going through." That sometimes have to go through that testings and trials to build my faith. We all do. Have to go through difficult situations to refine our faith. We all do. Our faith is refined as silver and gold are refined, Scripture tells us. How are silver and gold refined? You crush up the rock, you put it in a bucket, and you start turning on the heat. And when the impurities come up, you scrape them off. And then when no more impurities are coming up, if the refiner can't see his face in the molten liquid, he turns up the heat and turns up the pressure. What's God doing in our lives? Sometimes He's turning up the heat and turning up the pressure. But the goal is to make us more like Jesus. We are ambassadors of heaven. We are called to be His hands and feet. We are called to be faithful witnesses in this world. And if we never go through anything in this world, how can we relate to people that are going through things? If we never face difficulties, but have the peace of knowing that God is guiding me through, how is someone going to see us in the middle of peace, in the middle of turmoil? Having peace in the middle of turmoil, if they never observe that. Final passage, actually final verse. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Paul talking to Timothy. After he's told him not to be ashamed of me, the servant of the Lord, or my chains, not to be ashamed of my bonds. He says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day." Do we trust that God has us in the palm of His hands? When the doctor's report comes in, when the stock market crashes, when whatever happens, do we trust that God has us and God is at work in us and will never leave us nor forsake us? If we do, praise God. If we don't, guess what? He's faithful even when we're faithless. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of our trust even when we don't understand that. And he's drawing us into a deeper and closer relationship each and every day. Each and every day, God gives us a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not I feel like rejoicing today. I make myself. I determine. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You hear that, soul? Bless the Lord. When no one was around to encourage David, David encouraged himself in the Lord. We have God's Word to lead us, to teach us about Him, and to draw us and teach us how to live and how to walk. He's given us His love letter, and He draws us by His Spirit. Praise God. Are you facing mountains? Praise God. I know who's looking at the mountains from the top side. Who knows exactly what we're facing, exactly what's going on. I know who is at work. And I know who loves me and will never leave me. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the difficulties and turmoils that we face. We thank you, Father, for the issues of life. Knowing, Father, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, knowing that you are with us always, knowing that you have us engraved in the palm of your hands, knowing that you are paying attention to the things that go on in our lives, knowing that you hear our words, that you hear our thoughts, you even know our plans and purposes, and that you have a plan and purpose for us, for our good, for a benefit. And you've called us to be lights in the midst of darkness. We shouldn't be surprised at the darkness round about. We should be grateful, Lord, that you have found us worthy, that you have a plan for us, Lord, that involves even that. So, Father, watch over and guide us. Stir in our hearts this day, Father, as we seek your face, as we draw close to you, as we seek your kingdom and your righteousness. We thank you for the benefit of the things being added to us, but what we seek is your kingdom and your righteousness. We give praise, Father. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.